think everybody's back. I heard a number of beeps. So I would ask for each of you both a prayer for Jeff and a prayer for yourselves that we would be in tune with what the Lord has put on Jeff's heart to bring to us this morning, that we would benefit from it, that we would enjoy this time together. So with that, I'll give you our brother, Elder Jeff Oldham.
Well, good morning, everyone. Assume everybody can hear me okay?
Yeah.
Coming through loud here.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Good. Well, good morning, everyone. Definitely excited to have the opportunity to share this time with you. Excited that we have the chance to spend this time together. I want to start, and I'm going to jump right into a scripture. And I want to start with Alma, the 19th chapter. And I'm going to read several verses there. Really going to dive into the first 15 verses. And so if you could, turn with me to page 445 in the Book of Mormon if you're following along. And this, the entire Book of Mormon, I think, it's a great example, a great lesson. Definitely here in this example of Alma talking to a son, Corey Anton, is a great example and a great lesson for all of us, and hopefully one that I want to kind of draw on today as we go through this. And so I want to start off. And now, my son, I have somewhat more to say unto thee than what I said unto thy brother. For behold, have you not observed the steadiness of thy brother, his faithfulness and his diligence in keeping the commandments of God? Right off here, Alma is starting to talk to his son, Corey Anton, and really, quite frankly, chastising his son and chastising his son for not doing the will of the Lord, but for doing some of his own will. And I think what a great example it starts off here is Alma in that looking to his brothers and understanding the ways that his brothers are following and as a good example to him. Continuing on in the second verse, behold, has he not set a good example for thee? For thou didst not give so much heed unto my words as did thy brother among the people of the Zoramites. Now this is what I have against thee. Thou didst go on unto boasting in thy strength and thy wisdom. And definitely that fourth verse, and that thou didst go on unto boasting in thy strength and thy wisdom, and definitely some words of ones that, you know, I'd like to think that none of us boast and none of us are a proud people, but we know that we have weakness. As humans, we have weakness, and sometimes we talk about some of those great things that we do unto our own and probably not giving enough of the credit unto the Lord. Continuing on there at the fifth verse, and this is not all, my son. Thou didst do that which was grievous unto me, for thou didst forsake the ministry and did go over into the land of Syria and among the borders of Lamanites after the harlot Isabel. Yea, she did steal away the hearts of many, but this was no excuse for thee, my son. Thou shouldest have tended to the ministry wherewith thou wast entrusted. Know ye not, my son, that these things are an abomination in the sight of the Lord, yea, most abominable above all sins, save it be the shedding of innocent blood, or denying the Holy Ghost. For behold, if ye deny the Holy Ghost when it once hath had place in you, and ye know that ye deny it, behold, this is a sin which is unpardonable. Yea, and whosoever murdereth against the light and knowledge of God, it is not easy for him to obtain forgiveness, yea, I say unto you, my son, that this is not easy for him to obtain a forgiveness. And now, my son, I would to God that ye had not been guilty of so great a crime. I would not dwell upon your crimes to harrow up your soul if it were not for your good. But behold, ye cannot hide your crimes from God, and except ye repent, they will stand as a testimony against you in the last day. Now, my son, I would that ye should repent and forsake your sins, and go no more after the lust of your eyes, but cross yourself in all these things. For except ye do this, ye can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. O, remember and take it upon you, and cross yourself in these things. And I command you to take upon you to counsel your elder brothers in your undertakings. For behold, thou art in thy youth, and ye stand in need to be nourished by your brothers. You know, this last verse is really one that I wanted to focus on and really to continue to draw upon, because I think it's one that is a great example for us as we are young men and women, and as we are growing up, and as we are building in our youth and building in our experiences. You know, definitely Alma talking to a son, and I think talking to each of us, is that we stand in need to be nourished by our brothers. We stand in need to be nourished by those that are around us. And I think a lot about the camp, and I think about, you know, the opportunity that I see, and that as youth, we need that strength. You know, I think as a kid, when I was growing up, the young people's, we had a bus, you know, and we took a trip down to Arizona a couple years. And I remember that experience because that experience taught me that there were several men in the church that I looked up to, and I grew up watching it and wanting to be around and wanting to learn from. And that same example I want for my kids, just as each of you want for your kids, is that we want that example to be set for them, that they can look to others. Now, ideally, I'd love the fact that my kids would look up to me, or I'd love the fact that when my kids are challenged or facing something in their life, that they would be confident and comfortable to come talk to me. But I know that that's not always going to be the case. I know that there's going to be young men that they're going to look up to, and that they're going to ask for that direction, and they're going to ask for that support. Alma talking to a son first, you know, you start off in the very beginning there in the early part of the chapter, and it starts talking about, in the first verse, and it starts talking about the word steadiness. You know, that strength of that word, that steadiness of thy brother, his faithfulness and his diligence in keeping the commandments of the Lord. And I think that definitely, again, you know, as I said before, that the Lord is calling out to us, and that we are looking to those and keeping our faithfulness and our steadiness on that, the commandments of the Lord. This is what Alma tells his son, and really that he should be doing, rather than in the fourth verse, you know, when Alma is talking to him about boasting in thy own strength. And I often think about that. You know, I feel very blessed by the Lord. I feel that the Lord has given each of us many talents. And a lot of times I find myself, you know, when things are going good or when things are going bad, but, you know, when things change and there's a lot of change in all of our lives, you know, I would like to think that you know, maybe I had some talents in my own way, but definitely knowing that those talents come from the Lord. And that boasting really is not a boasting that we should be doing, but really giving the credit to the Lord always. I want to kind of tell you about kind of a little story, and I'm sure for many of you, you probably face this in your own jobs, but getting close to the end of the year, our company, we just ended our fiscal year, and so we're starting into November begins our new year for business, and so what comes with the end of year for most businesses is that you go through a performance review, and we've all had that probably, or will have that, and it's a good time to kind of step back and to kind of look at the year, to look at what we've done and how we've progressed, but then it's also a time to kind of look ahead and to look in what we need to be doing, and I think that's something that really in our own lives, in our spiritual lives, how great would it be that we would step back and look at those things in our lives and kind of take inventory and take account of where are we at and where are we going. And you know, as I think about year-end reviews and how that applies in my life, you know, individually we look at good things that we did. And you know, definitely we don't want to be boasting on ourselves, but it's kind of that time that you take that inventory and look at what did you get accomplished and what did you not get accomplished. What are things that you need to be getting accomplished? But then finally, you know, it's also a time to kind of step back and look at, as a team, you know, what have we done as a team working together? And I think of that team in our spiritual life, it's our family. It's the direct ones around us, you know, are we pulling together in the same direction? It's also each of us on the phone and as a team. And as a church, we have that responsibility to continue to do that, that pulling and that working together. And this week we had a guy that came into our work and he was hired by our company to kind of go around and kind of one of these motivational speakers. And this guy came in and, and I don't remember his name right offhand. Probably bad that I don't remember that. But the example that he talked about was this guy played for 10 years for the New England Patriots, and a very big man. You could tell he played football. You could tell he was a very strong man and definitely a powering person. But he gets up there and he talked about his experience within the NFL and that strength that he would draw on from being a part of that team. And that was his focus, was to talk about that team, to talk about empowerment, to talk about drawing on those strengths that we have that we are pulling together. And I thought it was pretty interesting. And you know, I think of that word, and he called on that word empowerment. And if you look up the definition of empowerment, it is to give official authority to, it's to enable, to promote or influence, or inspiring. And that word inspiring within empowerment is something that I often look to, and I think of that a word empowerment. The Lord has given us that opportunity to inspire others. What influence are we having? But then also, as a team, as a church, are we pulling in that together? Are we working together on that? When you think of the word empowerment, what do you think of? At one time, I attended a different class, and this was a leadership class. And within this class, they start off, and some of you may have done this, but you know, they start off, and you go in, and before you even go to this class, they have you do what's called a 360 profiler. And so, what this 360 profiler is you go out and you complete a survey on yourself. You kind of have to kind of rank yourself in some things. And then you go out and others fill out this survey on you, so your boss and your coworkers and people around you. And you know, it was a pretty good example of, pretty telling of how people see you and what influence do you have. And it's very open and honest because it's completely anonymous. You don't know who filled it out on you. You know who filled out the survey, you just don't know what responses they give. And you know, that opportunity that it gives you is to really step back and look and see, you know, take an account of, where am I? Where am I going? What am I doing? And I think often, like that example that Alma lays out to his son, Corey Anthem, is that open and honest feedback, you know. Definitely we need that strength. We draw on that strength from others. Like in the 15th verse that says, and you stand in need to be nourished by your brothers. We cannot do, we really struggle with that strength when we're just doing it on our own. But we need that strength of our family. We need that strength of our loved ones. We need that strength of those that are around us. You know, I often think one of the greatest examples in my life was my grandmother Nast. And my grandma Nast was one that she would be very quick to chastise us as kids. And you know, many times I remember sitting at the kitchen table or sitting in their house and having a conversation with my grandma. And my grandma knew how to ask those right questions, and she knew how to get out of me what was going on in my life. And that example that was set was that she was very quick to make sure that her grandchildren and her own children, that they were doing those things that the Lord expected us to do. And that example that it left in my mind was that no matter what was going on, that clearly I knew what I was supposed to be doing. But if I forgot or if I wavered, then my grandma was right there to snap us back into line. And I think that was good. And I remember as a kid, you know, as a kid, you don't want to hear that chastisement. As a kid, that you don't want to hear that correction. But as an adult, what a great opportunity it gives us to stop and to look and see and to kind of take an account. But most importantly, I knew that she loved us, and she did it with compassion. She did it with that love. Turn with me to Colossians, the second chapter. I'm going to start at the first verse there. So in Colossians, the second chapter, starting at the first verse, I'm going to read 1 through 8. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at last Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, be knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are all hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built upon in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And definitely, this example within this verse, and as it stands out, you know, it talks about remembering, you know, Paul was talking, and in Paul's words there, he was talking to us as Christians, and writing to Christians that warning them of what they should be doing, and definitely that we have that focus on Christ, that we have that focus and that example that's set before us in our lives. Turn with me to 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. Bear with me while I take a quick drink here. 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, starting at the 17th verse. We're going to read the 17th and 18th verse. Yea, therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. And really keen on that 18th verse. And that's one thing that really excites me about this phone line and this opportunity we have to call in, because it gives us that opportunity to grow. To grow in the knowledge of the Lord, to grow in understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ, and giving Him all that glory for that, and to give Him, you know, all of that thanks and thanksgiving for the blessings that He's given to us. Again, in our lives and how we continue to strengthen and call upon the Lord. Turn with me to 1 Peter, the 1st chapter. And I'm just going to read just a couple verses there, verses 24 and 25. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And a great example here in these verses, and starting at that 24th verse, and we can relate to this. I think this is a very simple words for us. It's words that we can understand without any problems. For all flesh is as grass. You know, that example of, you know, at least for us in the colder regions of the world, you know, what's going on with our grass right now? Well, you know, the freeze has come in. You know, definitely it's been, we got snow yesterday. Still some snow on the ground this morning. And you know, you think about it, our grass is really going dormant. It's falling away. It's withering away. And that the grass within the flowers in our flower beds and in our gardens, you know, they've died off now. And those starting to fall away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, you know. And that's, you know, our rooting and our strength that we draw upon. Are we drawn upon those things within the world? Are we drawn upon the people that are in the world? Or are we drawn upon the ways of the Lord? You know, much like Alma talked to his son Coriantum, you know, Coriantum, draw on the ways of your brothers. Draw on those people that are setting the good example for you. You know, expecting you to do those things and to do the will of the Lord. If we're not rooted deep in that, then it will wither away and it will die off. But that expectation to follow after the Lord. And also that chastisement, to receive that chastisement, it is a good thing, and we should look at it as a good thing. Much like our year-end reviews, you know, probably that year-end review isn't going to be always rosy and perfect. But that year-end review is talking about our strengths and talking about our weaknesses and how do we continue to draw upon the Lord to get better and to be stronger. So I think there are some key things, and it really stands out in my mind, some of the key things that Alma had talked to Coriantum, one of them being that faithfulness, you know, the steadfastness, that faithfulness. So turn with me to Psalms, the 40th chapter. to the 40th chapter, and we're going to start at the first verse there. Psalms, the 40th chapter, we're going to start at the first verse. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. You know, just this morning we were talking about building our house on that sandy foundation, or building our house on that rock. And I often think of when I read within the scriptures of that solid foundation or of that solid rock, you know, I think about that rock and a big rock, that strength. It's not something that you can go in and just break. Sure, you can chip away at it and you can work on it, but the strength of that rock, a big solid rock that we build our foundation on and that we continue to draw on, and that Lord is really that, our Lord and Savior is that solid rock that we build our foundation upon. Continuing on there at the third verse, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us ward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than could be numbered. You know, and I do think that is a very true statement. You know, we are truly a blessed people. You know, how many times in our lives are we faced with challenges? You know, how many times are there close calls in our lives that we don't even know about? And that we have many things to be thankful for, and always something to be thankful for. And I remember one of my other grandmothers, you know, she told me one time is that, you know, and my grandmother was somebody that, you know, the glass was probably definitely half empty for her, you know. I mean, sometimes it just seemed like she had a negative look on life and everything that she said. But, you know, it was interesting. One time I remember her telling me that she always, in her prayers, always starts off with giving thanksgiving, giving her thanksgiving unto the Lord for his blessings. And it really struck me, you know, somebody who in her life kind of looked at things in a negative way, still was always tried to be thankful to the Lord for the blessings that he gave. And I think that is an example for me, and definitely an example for all of us, that we do have a lot of things to be thankful for. We live in a free nation. We live in a time where we are living in freedom and living in safe times. Sure, there's challenges. Sure, there's pitfalls. Sure, there's people that wanna do harm to us. But definitely, we are a blessed people, and we should be thankful for that. Continuing on at the sixth verse, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. And that's really my prayer for each of us, is that, you know, within that eighth verse, that we delight in doing the will of the Lord, that his law is written within our heart, is that it's that rock that we can build our lives upon. Turn with me to Isaiah, the 25th chapter. In Isaiah, the 25th chapter, and I'm just going to read one verse, and it's the first verse there. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. And definitely, you know, I think about this words, the counsels of old still hold true. You know, the lessons, you know, I often, you know, you think about, you know, the foundation that we have and the very basics of our church beliefs, and they hold true, and they are an example that is set before us, and that our steadfastness and our focus should continue to be on the Lord in all that we do. And it's challenging because we face times in our lives when we feel that we're not as close to God and that we're being pulled away. But much like Alma talking to his son Corianton, just like the Lord talking to us, is trying to draw us back and to get our focus back on that solid foundation. And then another word that really stood out to me from that 19th chapter within Alma, when Alma was talking to his son, is diligence. You know, diligence, that diligence and that focus and that attention to give. And I remember a phrase that I heard one time is, failing to plan is planning to fail. I think I used that at camp one year and talked about, is that, you know, and I'm a horrible planner. My wife will tell you that. Within work, you know, I really challenge the people on my team to make sure that we're planning, you know, because I know that that's a weakness of mine. And I want to make sure that as a team that we're pulling together and making sure that we're planning and looking out to the future. And that failing to plan is planning to fail, and saying that you know, that within our lives, we have to plan for that diligence. We have to plan for that strength and that time that we have to draw upon the Lord. And that without doing so, we're encouraging failure. You know, we're encouraging that lack of growth and that lack of opportunity. Turn with me to Proverbs, the 4th chapter. Proverbs, the 4th chapter, and I'm going to start at the 20th to 27th verse. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear and unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with thy diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy feet from evil. And definitely that straight and narrow path that we are called to be on is much like that example that's laid out here for us, is that diligence and that focus on the Lord. And keeping on that straight and narrow path, it's not going to be easy. You know, hopefully of the young people that are listening in this morning, you know, at different times within camp, we've done that example where we had that rope laid out and we did the you know, hanging onto that rod of iron example. And you know, think back to that time in camp when we had that rope laid out and kind of strung along multiple trees, and you had to grab a hold of that rope, and we blindfolded you at the very beginning, and you had to grab on that rope, and you had to hang on. You know, and how many times were there people out there that were trying to pull you off that rope, trying to say something to you to get you to fall off that path or to go off in the wrong direction? But you know, that reward of staying on till the end, it wasn't easy. You know, it was challenging. I remember our sister Carrie Geyer, you know, she sat there and she tried to get Noah off the rope. And you know, it was hard for her. You know, even as a mother, this was an example. This was just an easy example of showing the example of the tree of life and hanging on to that rod of iron, you know, and it just tore her heart when CJ came off that rope, and it tore her up and it made her upset, you know, because of that example, is that it tears you up. Even in that example, to see your young person, your own child, to fall off that rope in life, that same holds true for each of us. And that example that we have and that opportunity that we have is that we have to hang on to that rope, and that there are others around us that are going to help us, and there are others around us that are going to try to pull us off that. And so I want to close with one last verse, and I want to close with Mark, the 12th chapter. Mark, the 12th chapter. I'm going to read just three verses, 29 through 31. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. You know, I think really, if you look at these verses, and you break them down and try to look at it from a very simple approach, you don't have to make this difficult. We don't have to make this challenging, but it's very simple. And the Lord has laid out for us, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. If our love for the Lord is like that, with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, then we have that opportunity. We have that additional aid to help hang on to that rod of iron. You know, much like Alma is calling out to his son, you know, in that final verse, in that 15th verse within Alma, in the 19th chapter, and I command you to take upon you to counsel your elder brothers in your undertakings. For behold, thou art in thy youth, and ye stand in need to be nourished by your brothers. We have that need to be nourished by our brothers and our sisters, by those around us, drawing on that strength from others, helping us to be strong, helping us to do the will of the Lord. And so my prayer is that we would draw upon that strength of others, that we would draw upon the strength of the Lord and look for that example of people around us that we can learn from, that we can draw on, and that we too can be that example for the others around us. My prayer is that we would do that, and I thank you for your time.